You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat! The ball is free! Denver's got it! Touchdown, Denver!
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Broncos. This is your host, Cody Rourke, columnist over at predominantlyorange.com and an NFL analyst covering the National Football League and the Denver Broncos. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL, where every single day we talk all things Denver Broncos. You stay up to date with the latest news, analysis, and all the good stuff over there at Twitter. And you can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Broncos. Now, keep in mind, we are still doing our Locked On Broncos contest giveaway. So right now, if you don't have iTunes, send me a message. Obviously, you got to be following me on Twitter. Send me a message. Let me know that you're interested in the Locked On Broncos contest giveaway, and we will enter you in there for being a fan and avid listener of the show. And if you want to leave a review on iTunes and document that and also use your Twitter name in the review, you will be automatically entered and registered into every single Locked On Broncos contest giveaway that there is, starting in September through the entire NFL regular season. We're bringing you all the action over there. And the good thing about leaving a review on iTunes, it registers you every single month, so you don't have to make another entry, and you can also have another opportunity to get extra entries throughout the NFL regular season, and we'll tweet all the details as soon as we launch our first official Locked On Broncos contest giveaway. Leave a review on iTunes, tell us what you think about the show. Today's episode of Locked On Broncos, all week long here, we have been talking about the Denver Broncos top 30 players list of all time that we really put together over there at predominantlyorange.com, and we are now on selections 12 through 6. So we're cracking into the single digits here on the Locked On Broncos predominantly orange analysis of the top 30 players of all time. And it's hard. It's hard where some of these guys are, but some of these guys are there rightfully so. And I'm excited to go through that with you guys here today on the show. But before we get to all the great news, action, and analysis of the Denver Broncos top 30 players of all time, we are going to cover the NFL, some news around the National Football League. And this is going to spark a little bit of debate here for the next couple of minutes. Now, the NFL has suspended Jameis Winston officially for 3 games due to his personal conduct, where he was accused of sexual assault or, you know, sexual misconduct of an Uber driver or Lyft driver. And at this point, Twitter is erupting. And this is, you know, I'm eager to hear you guys' thoughts on this. I'm going to give mine because this is what I do. I think society has lost its absolute mind when you've got guys comparing what Jameis Winston did. It says the NFL is suspending Jameis Winston for this, when, you know, you can be suspended less games for marijuana. Like, they're comparing sexual assault to a marijuana violation. I don't get it. Why are we minimizing one thing to try to support another? We even got people, I got Twitter followers that have told me straight up, well, all the media wants to focus on is all the negative things about Jameis Winston, but they fail to acknowledge the fact that he does a lot of things for public schools. Cool. Absolutely. You know, it's cool that he does things for public schools, but why are we overlooking the fact that he did something wrong? Why are we trying to minimize the fact that he did something wrong? And it's been a trend. It's been obviously some kind of behavior that has followed him around since Florida State. This isn't the first time he's had these, you know, conduct and allegations against him. In a sense, he's been under this microscope before. So why are we trying to minimize what he did by trying to say, well, he does a lot of good things? Okay, so, you know, you can't make that comparison. We gotta get this thing fixed in society. Look, football is important, but these people as human beings is more important. And if they're engaging in conduct that is detrimental to what it means to be a contributing member of society, then they shouldn't be there, period. Plain and simple. And it said from Adam Schefter today of ESPN, he said, if Jameis Winston has one more personal conduct violation, it opens him up to a longer suspension or potentially a ban from the NFL. So he is on the bubble in regards to this. So Tampa Bay gets to open up with Ryan Fitzpatrick as their quarterback. So that's going to be something that's going to be very interesting to watch. And they have the first 3 weeks of their season, I believe, are really tough. I believe they have Pittsburgh. I believe they have Philadelphia. And I can't remember the other team off the top of my head. I'll have to get back to that tomorrow on Locked On Broncos. But I'm just saying that as a society, we have to do better when it comes to these kind of allegations and not making it to where these athletes can do no wrong, because they are human beings. They do make mistakes. However, you know, success on a football field does not translate necessarily into being a good human being. And that's the most important thing that matters. If you're not a good human being, you cannot be in the National Football League. You cannot be in the NBA. You cannot have a job if you're doing things that are against the law that are also very immoral. So, I feel for Tampa Bay fans. Obviously, you know, not having your, you know, star quarterback you drafted a few years ago as your quarterback for the first 3 weeks. I'm eager to see what comes from the rest of the investigation, but that, you know, that's not my place to analyze here. You can catch on Locked On Bucks for all of their news and analysis on all things Tampa Bay Buccaneers related. You know, they're going to open up, like I said, with Ryan Fitzpatrick as their quarterback for three games, so I can't imagine that, you know, that's going to be a fun stretch, especially with some very, very tough teams. So, on today, also, is a very, very, very special day in Broncos country. It is John Elway's birthday. Now, let's talk about John Elway a little bit. I was called, you know, it kind of cracks me up. On one of the iTunes reviews, I was called an Elway apologist. And I don't understand where they get that from. But, you know, John Elway, I've been on here on this podcast and I've talked about it. I've said John Elway, like every single other general manager in the National Football League, has had hits and they've had misses. That's the nature of the game. John Elway is one of the best executives in football. It's evident since he's taken over the Denver Broncos as a general manager and executive vice president. I'm sorry. That's not me being orange and blue biased. That's me being business savvy, you know, having that business background. He has done a phenomenal job with the Denver Broncos. You know what? Everyone wants to look at his drafts. Okay, Alphonso Smith is one guy. You know what? There's a lot of characteristics in the National Football. You can't predict how players are going to turn out after you draft them. They have a lot of potential in college, but can they make it in the NFL lifestyle? Can they make it in the NFL system? A lot of guys haven't. A lot of guys haven't panned out from the earlier draft classes, but John Elway has done a phenomenal job, in my honest opinion, at bringing in key guys, snagging big-name free agents, and from Peyton Manning, DeMarcus Ware, T.J. Ward, Aqib Talib, Case Keenum, and you had a very good draft this year in 2018. I think people need to let that narrative go a little bit, but happy birthday, John Elway, and everybody always remembers the amount of heart and the effort and the dedication you've given to this organization throughout your entire career as a player and as an executive. And obviously Broncos fans are very excited, because I tell you what, I'm glad we have John Elway in an administrative ownership, not really an ownership, but an operating standpoint, having a big position of power within the organization, because it is so important to have a guy that knows your team that's going to help run things behind the scenes. John Elway knows the Denver Broncos best, even when he wasn't part of the team anymore, when Pat Bowlen was still running the team. Pat Bowlen really valued John Elway's input. So happy birthday, John Elway. He's enjoying golf today. He's a guest chairman for a golf tournament today, so that's going to be interesting to see. Don't forget, guys, Denver Broncos training camp is coming up, and it starts on July 28th, Saturday, and it opens from 9:30 a.m. to about noon. The parking lots will open at the UC Health Training Center in Denver, Colorado at 7 a.m. The gates will open at 8 a.m. It'll be jam-packed. It'll be raucous, and you're going to have a lot of orange and blue around, and I will be at training camp on August 4th. I'm hoping to go up August 3rd and August 4th for training camp and even stay to August 5th for that, and then head back home over the mountain to be back in time for the start of official high school football practice. We're going to be there, though. Lockdown Broncos, August 3rd, August 4th, and August 5th. So come up to me. We'll talk. Obviously, look forward to hitting up some Radio Row with Orange and Blue 760, you know, Altitude 950, Mile High Sports. We're going to have everybody out there. It's going to be fun. And obviously, I want to get your fan feedback, and we're going to go through and we're going to talk to fans at training camp and see about their experience, how many times they've been at training camp, so on and so forth, what they see early on. That's going to be a very, very fun thing to do and catch those dates. If you want the rest of the dates, head over to denverbroncos.com and book your trip to go to Denver Broncos training camp. It's very cool. All these are open to the public minus a few practices. And then the preseason game begins for the Denver Broncos on August 11th. That's a Saturday in Denver. They take on the Chicago Bears. That's going to be a fun one. So don't miss out on that. That's going to be a fun thing to do. Preseason, we're literally just about a month and a half away from seeing some form of football again on the television, in the stadiums. I'm very, very excited about that. So let's jump into our predominantly orange analysis of the Denver Broncos top 30 players list of all time. Now, yesterday we covered picks 19 through 13. And it's, I tell you what, you know, I think a lot of the players and a lot of feedback that I have gotten from a lot of people around the NFL community is there are a lot of very accurate placements according to some fans. And I think that, you know, that means a lot, obviously, that value, that feedback. If you haven't, go to predominantlyorange.com right now, look at it, comment, and, you know, if we missed somebody, if we left somebody out, comment who we left out and who should be where. All that stuff matters. But it was a very tough list to compile, and today we're going to talk about, obviously, 12 through 6. So it's going to be exciting. And we get to start off today's episode of Lockdown Broncos, number 12 on the top Denver Broncos of all time. Dennis Smith, safety for the Denver Broncos, played his career from 1981 to 1994. He played in every single one of his 184 games in his career with the Denver Broncos. He's also selected to the Pro Bowl a whopping 6 times, and he had 1,152 total tackles, 30 interceptions, and big hits left and right. I remember he split somebody's spleen open one time on a hit. I can't remember the guy's name. And, you know, really, him and Steve Atwater really anchored a very dominant physical part of the defense, and they're very, very stud players. And I tell you what, his other counterpart will be on here in just a few moments as well. He was a first-round pick in the 1981 NFL Draft from USC, and he was also inducted into the Denver Broncos Ring of Fame about 20 years later. He's another player that, in my honest opinion, if you haven't watched a lot of old school film from the 90s or even the late 80s, mid 80s for the Denver Broncos, you may not remember Dennis Smith, but Dennis Smith always stood out. Him and Steve Atwater were one of the most physical tandems at safety in National Football League history. Now, unfortunately for Smith, his career ended in 1994, and from that point, he missed out on the run that the Denver Broncos had to dominate the AFC for the next 4 years. He never won a Super Bowl with the team, and if he would have stayed healthy, I guarantee you him and Steve Atwater would have won a championship together in 97 and 98. And who knows, maybe having Dennis Smith around in 96, maybe the Denver Broncos beat the Jaguars at that point. That is absolutely crazy. But you know what? We can sit here and play the what if history game. I like that. Actually, I like going back and saying, you know, what if this happened? What if this didn't happen? You know, you never know. The NFL could have been a different thing had certain events happen. And speaking of that, we have another Smith on the list. He comes in at number 11. He's a fan favorite for all of the Broncos country. Rod Smith. He played wide receiver for the Broncos from 1995 to 2006. And I tell you what, he is a guy who worked tremendously hard to get into the National Football League. He's eligible to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He was eligible starting in 2012, and he unfortunately still hasn't been placed in the Hall of Fame. I think he deserves to be in there. He is the all-time leader in the most important categories for the Denver Broncos at wide receiver in receptions. He's got 849 career receptions, 11,389 career receiving yards, and 68 touchdowns at that point. And Demaryius Thomas is close to breaking those, and Rod Smith has had a lot of high praise on Demaryius Thomas. And he scored at least one touchdown in 66 games, and he has an overall touchdown count of 71 total TDs. His yards and touchdowns rank first among all undrafted players, and he was able to produce solid numbers while being accompanied by other great players around him, having Shannon Sharp around him, Ed McCaffrey, and obviously having John Elway get you the ball. That was a big thing. He had the touchdown catch against the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl in 1998. That was a big, big play. He was inducted into the Denver Broncos Ring of Fame in 2012. And the best part of all, he's another unsung hero in terms of being an undrafted free agent. And he's got a very successful career. And I was very, very sad heading into 2006, really, that, you know, when the Denver Broncos had Javon Walker and they had Rod Smith in 2005, they had, you know, Jake Plummer, a quarterback, and I can't remember the tight end. I think it was Tony Scheffler. I think it was Tony Scheffler. But when they had those guys, they were absolutely dominant. Javon Walker and Rod Smith as a 1-2 combo in the NFL for Jake Plummer was fun to watch. And unfortunately, I remember being a 7th grader or 6th grader at the time and heading into 2006 and looking at the injury report and seeing Rod Smith always being held out due to a hip injury that forced him to retire in 2006. And it was a big bummer that he was unable to finish out his career healthy, but he retired in 2006 and he made it. You know, he made it a very amazing moment. He's a very important figure in Denver Broncos history, and he also is a big aficionado now on coffee. So I've talked to him several times on that occasion. Definitely love the impact he's made as an NFL player and wish him the best going forward. Now, number 10 comes the hitman. Now, Steve Atwater was a tank. Now, we had the opportunity to talk with Steve Atwater, Ryan Edwards, the other day, and we kind of talked about him being a top 10 player, Denver Broncos all the time. He's a very humble guy. Very, very humble guy. But on the field, he was very, very intimidating. He was a 6'3", 218-pound, hard-hitting safety that had unbelievable skills at reacting to the football, breaking on routes, and most importantly, he was super physical. Now, he always would look for the guy coming across the middle, and a lot of NFL offenses feared throwing up the middle or throwing across the field when you had Steve Atwater out there. Now, for him, he transformed the Denver Broncos defense and inspired the entire National Football League to draft people like him who were at first really considered undersized safeties, but at that point, playing at that weight, being a 6'3" guy, 220 pounds, he gave the green light for a lot of guys of that stature with the same type of physical ability to be drafted. Now, the key moment that all Denver Broncos fans will remember is going up against the nightmare Christian Okoye. Now, he came down and absolutely smacked Okoye, who was absolutely scary. Most NFL defenders withered away, and primarily, Okoye ran through people, and he made people run away from him. Steve Atwater met him head on, and he's 250 pounds, mind you this. So he hits him, he falls back, and I tell you what, go watch it on YouTube. Look up Steve Atwater's hit on Christian Okoye if you haven't seen it. If you're a Broncos fan, I doubt you've never seen it. It's out there. It's been something that's been circulated over and over and over again. So definitely go check that out. That was a play that really embodied the type of player that Steve Atwater was throughout his entire career. And he played phenomenal when the Denver Broncos beat the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl. That is a vivid memory that I will always remember for Steve Atwater. And he got to go out on top two times, you know, playing in back-to-back Super Bowls for the Denver Broncos. That was absolutely huge. And he's a big, big contributor in Broncos history. Absolutely a top 10 player of all time. So heading into our ninth pick, we got a few more left before we get to six. We'll carry out with 5-1 tomorrow here on Friday's edition of Locked On Broncos. Coming in at number 9, Louis Wright, cornerback for the Denver Broncos, played his entire career for the Denver Broncos from 1975 to 1986. He was a first-round pick for the Denver Broncos. And at this point now, as a defensive back, you could get away with a little bit more now. Now, he played during a time where the Denver Broncos Orange Crush defense was lights out and was phenomenal. He had an eye for picking off the quarterback. He was very good in his, you know, in breaking in his back pedal, breaking over the top, breaking across routes. He was always in position. He finished his entire career with the Denver Broncos with 26 interceptions, and he returned all of those for a total of 360 yards and one touchdown. Now, in 1975, his rookie season, he played 11 out of 12 games. He recorded 2 interceptions that season and 1 fumble recovery, and he was a big contributor when the Denver Broncos made their first Super Bowl appearance in 1977. Now, at this time, the NFL had made some rule changes that were not in favor of defenses, and those rules were: defenders are only permitted to make contact with receivers once, defenders are not allowed to make contact with an opponent above the shoulders with the palms of their hands except to ward them off the line. Now, despite those rules and the changing styles, he was still able to be a dominant player in the NFL. That's why he's another key member of the Denver Broncos franchise in all of the history. He's not in the Hall of Fame, but I believe he has a stake to deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. He is a member of the Denver Broncos Ring of Fame, and evidently, he is a top 10 Denver Bronco of all time. Coming in at number 8, we have Gary Zimmerman. He played tackle for the Denver Broncos from 1993 to 1997, and at this point, you know, when I look at offensive line, we talked about Mark Schlereth. Gary Zimmerman was a very physical guy as well, and in his career with the Denver Broncos, he went on to become a 7-time Pro Bowler and a 5-time All-Pro selection between his time with the Minnesota Vikings and the Denver Broncos. And in 2008, he was selected to the NFL Hall of Fame. So he's another member that is in the Hall of Fame for the Denver Broncos. From 1993 to 1997, Zimmerman had the job of protecting the blind side of John Elway. And Shannon Sharp once gave a speech saying there was never a question about whether or not Elway's backside would be covered because Gary Zimmerman did his job. He was a neutralizer at the left tackle position, and it also paved the way for some of the best offensive years the Denver Broncos have seen in franchise history. Now, Zimmerman rode off into the sunset with the Denver Broncos following the 1997 season, where he won his first and only Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos. Coming in at number 7, Floyd Little, running back for the Denver Broncos, played in 1967, 1975. He's another Hall of Fame player for the Denver Broncos. He's one of the best running backs to ever play the game. He came from Syracuse, and he was, you know, the movie, that was absolutely The Express, I believe it was The Express, where they came in there, and it was obviously with Ernie Davis. And at that point, that movie really showed a different time of how society was and how society treated African-American players and people in general. But he had to overcome a lot of obstacles. He was an elusive and shifty player. He became a player that also never shied away from contact. He ran for 6,323 yards and 43 total career touchdowns, and he was unbelievably quick as soon as he got up into open space. His number 44 jersey is one of the very few jerseys that have been retired for the Denver Broncos. Now, coming in at number 6, he's our final player of today's show. We got 5 through 1 tomorrow here on Lockdown Broncos, and his name is Von Miller. Now, I know what you're thinking. Von Miller, he's still playing in the National Football League. He's still playing for the Broncos. How is he a top player of all time? Think about it this way. When the Denver Broncos had their worst season in franchise history, they were able to get the second pick in the NFL draft. Josh McDaniels was gone from the team. John Elway was running the show. The Broncos needed to focus on defense because that was a big, big problem for them. So they drafted Von Miller out of Texas A&M. And out of all the players that John Elway has drafted since he's returned to the Denver Broncos, this draft pick was the most meaningful, in my honest opinion, from now and as long as the franchise is in operation, one of the best picks of all time for the Denver Broncos franchise. Now, he struggled. He struggled, like I've mentioned several times on the show. Coming into the NFL, he struggled a little bit with personality stuff and obviously getting in trouble with substances, having a marijuana offense. He had to register as, you know, on the NFL substance offenders list, where he had to be tested randomly for a urine analysis sample. Now, in 2013, it was arguably one of his worst years, where he found himself tearing his ACL, and that's where a lot of questions came. And he really attributes tearing his ACL to really realizing that he's got to make some changes if he wants to make it or have a long-lasting career in the National Football League. He's no surprise to being clutch and being an impact player for the Denver Broncos, and it all goes back to the 2015 NFL playoffs. The divisional game he got to Ben Roethlisberger, they go on to play the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game. Von Miller was everywhere. He sacked Tom Brady a couple times, and he also intercepted Tom Brady on a pass intended for Rob Gronkowski. Now, in Super Bowl 50, the Denver Broncos were expected to be blown out by more points than they were by the Seattle Seahawks in Super Bowl 58. All the critics gave the Denver Broncos no chance. Skip Bayless called Von Miller overrated and that he can't show up for big games. Guess what happens? Von Miller coming off the edge, strip sacks Cam Newton, Malik Jackson, DeMarcus Ware. They pick it up in the end zone, touchdown Denver. They go up 10-0 in the first quarter. And Von Miller will go on to sack Cam Newton once again for 1.5 sacks, another forced fumble that really sealed the game for the Denver Broncos. T.J. Ward recovered the ball, and at that point, C.J. Anderson punched it in for the touchdown. Von Miller says he could play another 10 years, and if he can play another 10 years, you can bet your tail that he can end up as number one in Denver Broncos all-time history here for all-time players. So we'll get to, obviously, picks 5 through 1 tomorrow on Locked On Broncos. Thank you for joining me here today for another episode. We're going to keep you up to date with all the latest news, analysis, and updates of all things Denver Broncos on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL and LockedOnBroncos.com, where you can catch another version of this podcast bringing you the heat as well. Head over to PredominantlyOrange.com today for all your latest news and updates on the Denver Broncos and opinion pieces from a great staff over there at Predominantly Orange. Once again, this is your host, Cody Rourke. Give me a follow on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. We'll see you tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Broncos.